The Holy Gospel is recorded in the third chapter of the Gospel according to St. Luke, reading selected verses where we have Luke's recording of the baptism of Jesus. These words will also serve as the basis for our meditation this morning. The people were waiting expectantly and were all wondering in their hearts if John might be the Messiah. John answered them all, "I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I will come, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." When all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. And as he was praying, heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." This is the Gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace are yours. From God the Father, through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. As mentioned earlier, we are looking this morning at Luke's report of the baptism of Jesus as you have it printed on page 7 in your service folder. Dear friends in Christ, I remember the day, and I know some of you do too, when there were no cell phones, no internet, not even television. Quite a long time ago now. But there was radio. And so we used to sit and listen to the radio and listen to radio programs the same way that people do with television today. And as you'd sit there and listen to all the different kinds of programs that were on, there were comedy shows, there was drama, there were mystery and detective shows, all kinds of things that you could listen to. But, of course, all you sensed was the voices. You heard the voices, and that's all. But for those of you who had that experience, do you remember that as you listened to those voices, a picture formed in your mind of what that person looked like? Who was speaking? I guess it's the same thing today when you answer the phone or call somebody, and if it's perhaps a receptionist at a place of business and the person talks to you and you get this picture in your mind of what the person looks like, whether they are tall or short or skinny or heavier or young or old or whatever it may be, you form an image in your mind of what that person looked like. And then, perhaps later on, you have the opportunity to actually see that person. And isn't it often the case that they look very different from what you had imagined by listening to their voice? Sometimes you are pleasantly surprised. Sometimes maybe you're disappointed. They didn't look like you thought they would. What do you imagine that the people of Jesus' day thought the Messiah was going to look like? What kind of person was he going to be? Well, some people thought that, we are told by Luke, that John was the Messiah. because he was a preacher, because he was proclaiming God's will and God's love, and because he was baptizing, we are told, for the forgiveness of sins. And people thought, well, that must be what the Messiah was going to be like. Other people had read the Old Testament prophecies. They had read words like the words that the prophet Isaiah spoke in the 9th chapter of his book, a prophecy that we are all familiar with. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, a kingly person, and the government will be on his shoulders. He will be in charge of and will be the founding person for God's kingdom. He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. What kind of a spectacular individual is this Messiah going to be? And what amazing things is he going to accomplish? And then we are told by Luke, when all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. Nothing special. He, as I said to the children before, is just one of the people standing on the shore. He didn't look any different than anybody else. There was nothing spectacular about him. There was no halo over his head, the way you see in some artist's rendition of the baptism of Jesus. He didn't have on kingly robes. The people, when he walked up to the shore, didn't respectfully step aside so that this important person could walk by. No. Jesus just stood in line like everybody else. And when his turn comes, we are told, and he was baptized too. I guess we shouldn't be totally surprised by that. God had already kind of prepared us for that, prepared the people for that, by what he also said through the prophet Isaiah in chapter 53, when he says, there was no beauty or majesty that we should be attracted to him. There was nothing about his countenance that we should desire him. Because Jesus came to the human race and he took on human flesh. Amazing as that is, the Son of God, who the gospel writer John tells us created all things. All things were made by him, we hear in the third verse of his gospel, and without him was not anything made that was made. The creator and the ruler of all the earth. And what does he do? He takes on ordinary human flesh. Born of a human mother in a very lowly setting. And now he makes his appearance at the Jordan River. Luke tells us he was 30 years old. He no doubt had spent the years previous helping his father Joseph, who was a carpenter. Just a man in a community, a peasant, we'd call him. Nothing special. And now he appears at the Jordan River. And he's baptized. He's hard to recognize. He looks like everybody else. Most of the people that were there that day must have just overlooked him. Or at least they would have if John the Baptist and the Heavenly Father himself wouldn't have helped him out. some of the people must have been very disappointed in Jesus. This is the one we've been waiting for? This is what the Old Testament prophets have been talking about? What a disappointment. Which leads us to ask the question of ourselves. Have you ever been disappointed in Jesus? Has he not played this role in your life that you perhaps thought he should? Hasn't displayed his power when you are in trouble? Seems like he isn't even there when you need him or you pray to him? Might as well pray to anybody else here, just an ordinary human being, because that seems to be what he is like as well. Our human reason and our senses aren't going to appreciate Jesus as the Savior now either. Although he sits at the right hand of God, we don't see him. And very often we have trouble seeing his work in this world and in our lives, when the world itself seems to be in open rebellion against him, and we have trouble seeing him dealing with us in his love. And we can become disappointed in Jesus as well. So what does the Lord do? He does for us the same thing that he did for the people of Jesus' day. When Jesus came to be baptized, we are told that after his baptism, he was standing in the water and praying. And as he was praying, the heavens opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove, and a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son whom I love. With you I am well pleased." This was no ordinary man standing there in the waters of the Jordan. This, the Heavenly Father says, is my Son, whom I have sent into this world for the specific purpose of carrying out my mission of salvation for sinners. And here he stands, not just as one of the other sinners on the shore, but here is my holy, sinless Son, a substitute for the rest of mankind, who has become part of the human race in order that he might save the human race. And the Father says, "In him I am well pleased." Why does Jesus bring such joy to the heart of the Heavenly Father? Because Jesus' baptism is not like our baptism. John wouldn't ask of you or me, if we came to be baptized of him, "Why am I baptizing you? You should be baptizing me." That's what he said to Jesus, because he realized that Jesus was that one who was to follow him, the one whose sandal he was not fit to untie. And he knew that this was the sinless Son of God. So what was Jesus doing there? Why was he being baptized by John, a baptism for the forgiveness of sins, when he had no sin? Because he was there to please his Heavenly Father, to carry out the divine mission that had been set before him. The gospel writer Matthew, in reporting this same incident, tells us that Jesus told John in answer to his question, "Why am I baptizing you?" He said, "It's necessary for us to fulfill all righteousness. Jesus came to this earth, the righteous one, on a mission of righteousness. He came to this earth in order that he might live the life that you and I do not live, a life of perfect obedience to the Heavenly Father. He came to this earth on a mission of righteousness in order that he might go to the cross and die the death that you and I deserve for all eternity because we have failed to please our Heavenly Father. But Jesus pleases him because Jesus has come, and as he said in the Gospel of John, my food is to obey the will of the Heavenly Father. That's what sustains me. That's why I'm here. And that's why he was at the shores of the Jordan as well. This was his inauguration, you might say, into the mission that he was about to perform. He came to this earth for that purpose, and now he expresses his willingness to go forth and do his Father's will. Anything and everything that's necessary in order to bring about our salvation. And so we can say there is a connection between Jesus' baptism and ours. It's true, Jesus was not baptized for the same reason that we are. But because Jesus was baptized, because he was willing to carry out this mission of salvation, there is substance, there is truth to your baptism and mine. We are baptized for the forgiveness of sins. But there would be no forgiveness if Jesus hadn't come to this earth, if he hadn't carried out this mission. Our baptisms would just be some kind of shallow rite that we go through that maybe makes us members of some church but doesn't really accomplish anything. But because Jesus was baptized, we have the promise from our Savior himself. Your sins are forgiven, and you belong to me for all eternity. Watching Jesus go to the Jordan to be baptized is not just, we are not just spectators looking from the sidelines, kind of uninterested in what's going on. No, this is our hope. This is our future. This is our Savior who has come to be our Savior and our Lord now and for all eternity. May our baptisms remind us of Jesus' baptism. May it remind us that we have a Savior from sin, and that because of that, we belong to our Heavenly Father forever. The Father was well pleased with Jesus' work, and by faith, so are we, because our hope rests in him. Amen.